The text for Pastor Warren Wiersbe's message is Luke chapter 2, verse 6. We hear today about the name of Jesus, and that being the firstborn.
Let's read from Luke chapter 2, that beautiful account of the birth of our Lord Jesus. I'm going to begin at verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. She brought forth her firstborn son. Did you know that 7 times in the New Testament the title firstborn is applied to the Lord Jesus? Now, to us who are Gentiles, firstborn doesn't mean a great deal, but it meant a great deal to the Jews, because the firstborn son had very special rights and privileges. However, the point I want to make is this, that in the New Testament, firstborn does not necessarily mean born first. Now, in the case of the Lord Jesus, he was Mary's firstborn son. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. According to Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, Mary and Joseph had children. After our Lord Jesus was born, they lived as husband and wife. But our Lord was born in a very special way. Joseph was his foster father, not his literal father. Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus, and he was literally her firstborn. But you see, the term firstborn in the Bible carries with it the idea of superiority and priority. Whoever is firstborn is designated the very special one. In Psalm 89 and verse 27, God said that he would make Solomon his firstborn. Now, Solomon was not David's firstborn because he wasn't born first, but God selected Solomon and said, I will make him my firstborn. The firstborn is the one who gets the inheritance. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22, God designated the people of Israel as his firstborn. So if you'll think of firstborn as meaning priority, superiority, the highest of the high, we have no problem applying this title to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you take all of these references to the firstborn that apply to Jesus, you understand 4 different aspects of his person and his work. I'm going to ask you to look at these references, if you will, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? Then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, his son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, or the firstborn, into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now let's consider these 4 references and learn what it means that Jesus Christ is the firstborn. First of all, he is the firstborn of all creation, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. The theme of Colossians, the whole book, is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 18, that in all things he, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. Chapter 3, verse 11, but Christ is all and in all. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, we see the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So our Lord is preeminent in salvation. He's also preeminent in creation. Verse 16 tells me, by him were all things created. Now, if that's the case, then he himself was not created. There are those who want us to believe that Jesus Christ was a created being, the highest of the created beings, but he himself is not eternal God. But verse 16 says, for by him were all things created. Therefore, he himself is not a created thing. All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. That's another proof that he is not a created being. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, or by him all things hold together. Here is the preeminence of Jesus Christ in creation. Now, what does it mean to be the firstborn of all creation? Well, it means to be the highest of everything in creation. Remember now, firstborn carries with it the idea of priority, superiority, the highest of the high, the one who is going to share in the inheritance. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is superior to everything in creation because he existed prior to creation. All things were made by him. All things were created by him. All things were created for him. And all things hold together by his power. This makes him the highest of the high in all of creation. Now, do you want to know why we're having problems with creation today? We have problems with pollution. We have ecological problems that are leading to economic problems, that are leading to political problems. Do you know why we have these problems? Well, it's because we don't believe in creation anymore. We have taken Jesus Christ out of his preeminence as the firstborn of all creation. And so as a result, we have ugliness instead of beauty. We have destructiveness instead of growth and construction. There is waste, there's idolatry. People are worshiping the things of creation, the things that they manufacture. When Jesus Christ is given his proper place as the firstborn of all creation, these problems will be solved. And we'll look upon creation as something he has made to be used to glorify him. He is the firstborn of all creation. And I look forward to that day when Jesus is going to come again and all of creation will be delivered from the mess that we have made. And we're going to have beauty and harmony. We're going to have glory and blessing because the firstborn of all creation, Jesus Christ, will be reigning supremely. Now Colossians 1:18 tells me that he is not only the firstborn of all creation, but he is the first begotten or the firstborn from the dead. This same title is used in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Now, of course, this does not mean that Jesus Christ was the first one raised from the dead, because we know he was not. Back in the Old Testament, there were people who were raised from the dead. We have the record that Jesus raised at least 3 people from the dead and possibly more. How then is he called the firstborn from the dead? Once again, he is the highest of those who have been raised from the dead. He is the greatest. He stands supremely above everyone else. Well, in what respect? Well, in this respect, our Lord Jesus Christ knew he was going to be raised from the dead. He announced it. He prophesied it. Not only that, he raised himself from the dead. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take my life up again. No man taketh my life from me. Now, Lazarus did not raise himself from the dead. That little daughter of Jairus did not raise herself from the dead. The son of that widow at Nain did not raise himself from the dead. But Jesus raised himself from the dead. He is the highest of all who have ever been raised from the dead. Now, secondly, he was raised from the dead by his own power, never to die again. Lazarus died again. Jairus' daughter died again. So did the son of the widow of Nain. Everyone that was raised from the dead died again, but not the Lord Jesus. He had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to take it up again, and now he lives by the power of an endless life. Being raised from the dead, he is now reigning in heaven, and death cannot reach him. And so he is the firstborn from among the dead, the highest and the greatest, because he raised himself. He raised himself never to die again, and he raised himself that he might be able to raise others. Lazarus never raised anybody. No one who was ever raised from the dead, recorded in the scriptures, ever raised anybody else, but Jesus did, and Jesus will again. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one in glory who possesses endless life. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10. And you and I never have to fear death because we're trusting him who is the firstborn from the dead. He has conquered death. Death could not hold him, and death will not hold us when he calls us to come to be with him. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 gives us a third reference to Jesus Christ, the firstborn. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Notice this, please. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ does not want to keep all these blessings to himself. Someone has said that God loves his Son so much he wants everybody else to be just like him. You and I are going to one day experience this. We shall see him, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are one of his many brethren. And Jesus tells us that one day we shall see him, and we are going to be like him, for he is the firstborn among many brethren. That means what he is, we one day shall be. The church is called in Hebrews 12:23, the church of the firstborn. Now, really, we're the church of the secondborn when it comes to salvation. In my first birth, God would not accept me, but in my second birth, I have received eternal life, and one day I shall be like Jesus Christ. And so if you belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to the church of the firstborn. That means the highest, those who are the most privileged, those who are going to share in his glory. He is the firstborn among many brethren, and one day we are going to be like him. Well, when is that going to happen? We turn to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. He is talking here about our Lord's coming. Now, Bible students disagree a little on this verse. Some read the word again a little later on in the verse. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, I like to believe that that word again refers to when Jesus comes again. There are those who say that the word again means I'm going to give another quotation, because here in chapter 1, the writer has been quoting from the Old Testament scriptures. Either way, we still get the same message. When he brings the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. I think that this applies to when our Lord Jesus Christ shall return for his church. When he came the first time to this earth, the angels did worship him. But he came in humility. But when he comes again, he's going to come in glory. When he came the first time, born in Bethlehem, he came in weakness, a little baby. But he's going to come in power. He came for salvation when he came to Bethlehem. But when he comes again, there's going to be judgment. When he came the first time, he ended up with a crown of thorns. But when he comes again, he's going to be wearing a crown of victory. When God brings again the first begotten into the world. Well, Jesus Christ is God's firstborn, and he's the one who's going to inherit. He's the one who's going to have all of the glory and all of the blessing, and I trust that you know him as your Savior.